The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, Donald Trump is set to meet Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky today, and it follows comments made by the former U.S. president where he said Ukraine was gone.
Look at the war in Ukraine, and I think it's something we have to have a quick discussion about because the president of Ukraine is in our country and he's making little nasty aspersions toward your favorite president, me. And he's no angel. It's all such a horror. Biden and Harris caused this situation by the stupidity of what they said, by every move they make. But they caused the situation, and now they're locked in. They're locked in. I watched this poor guy yesterday at the United Nations. He didn't know what he was saying. They just don't know what to do. They're locked into a situation. It's sad. They just don't know what to do. Because Ukraine is gone. It's not Ukraine anymore. You can never replace those cities and towns, and you can never replace the dead people, so many dead people.
And that's Donald Trump with his reflections on Ukraine. I'm joined by Jennifer Ewing, spokesperson for Republicans Overseas UK. Jennifer, good morning.
Hi, Pat. How are you?
What do you think is going to happen? You'd love to be a fly on the wall at that meeting, wouldn't you?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm glad that people are finally starting to talk about this. And, you know, it's always been so strange over the last couple of years that anyone who dares call for diplomacy or peace in this situation is called a Putin sympathizer or worse. So I'm glad that this is happening. I think it's a good thing that Trump did decide, albeit somewhat at the last minute, to invite Zelensky to Trump Towers for a meeting later on today. So I think that's good.
Now, you recall during the debate where he refused to endorse the possibility of a Ukraine win over Russia, and it led to comments that he's soft on Putin. And Putin is no angel.
So, you know what I would say to that, Pat, is who is the only president in our last four presidents that Putin did not invade another country under? And that's Donald Trump, right? He invaded Georgia under Bush, invaded Ukraine under Obama, and then invaded again, you know, under Biden and Harris. So I would say it's the opposite of being soft. And with regards to Ukrainian win, I mean, sure, you know, we want Ukraine to be okay. We don't want this continuation of, you know, what is it, up to 500,000, 600,000 young men dying over there. And what does winning look like? Nobody has been able to say what that looks like. So J.D. Vance, Trump, you know, some of the other new members of sort of the team, Bobby Kennedy Jr., Tulsi Gabbard, they want to end these forever wars. They want to end this open checkbook that's just given to countries and concentrate a little more on what's going on at home. You know, fixing the economy, fixing the crisis we have at our southern border. Those two are the top voting issues.
No, I was taken to task by one of the listeners saying that, you know, any comparison made by me or guests on the show suggesting that the rise of Donald Trump is similar in many ways to the rise of Hitler in Nazi Germany. You know, the kind of talk about getting rid of the permanent civil service and replacing them with Trump acolytes, that kind of talk. He's saying you should look at Trump's policies. So attempt to look at the policies as articulated by him at meetings and so on. And he's not heavy on policy at all. The, you know, big things about deporting millions of migrants out of the United States back to where they came from, I presume. But there's absolutely no detail as to how that might be achieved, even if it was desirable.
Actually, that's not true. And you'll recall in 2015, Donald Trump ran on closing the border. And while he didn't complete building the wall, got caught up in bureaucracy, he did have a few policies, remain in Mexico and basically, you know, deporting people. And then when President Biden and Vice President Harris came into office, within their first 100 days, they basically put a line through a lot of Trump's border policies, including remain in Mexico. So we saw the illegal, we're not talking about legal, we're talking about illegal immigration in the last 3.5 years under Biden and Harris has been over 10.5 million. That is unsustainable. And again, It's a top two voting issue. The American people are suffering in their small towns, you know, social services, schools, all crime, all of these things. So, yeah, Trump had actually very solid
policies. Now, earlier on in the program, we were talking about some of the policies that are espoused by Trump supporters, the idea of the great replacement theory, so that Americans would be replaced by migrants eventually. And we were talking about the hypocrisy involved in that, because pretty much every member of the political party in the United States, and those who run for election and those who support them, are all of migrant stock. Americans originally were the Native Americans who were replaced, replaced by Europeans. Do you know what I mean? So when people are given out about migrants replacing other people, I mean, it is a massive hypocrisy. Where did you all come from?
So, great point. You know, you are right. We are a country of migrants, you know, whether Italians, Irish, you know, South Americans. And I'll tell you what's so interesting. I come from California. I was just there a few weeks ago visiting my father. He has, you know, helpers that come from Mexico, right? They came legally. They have a small business. They, you know, raise their families there. And they are actually these legal immigrants, which we welcome, are the ones who are suffering the most with the illegal immigrants coming in. So it's totally different. Like, if the first thing you do when you enter the United States, and I'd say, you know, we certainly have a lot of this going on in the UK too, is to break the law, that's just not fair to the people who are waiting in line to get into the country legally. Don't you agree?
I mean, we are suffering from a situation in this country where there are people coming here seeking asylum from the wars in Ukraine and wars elsewhere and famine and hardship, and we do our best to accommodate them. But we also need to improve our legal immigration system so that visas can be given to those who want to work and for whom there's work, and granted quickly. So we all have these kind of problems.
Agree. Yeah. I have a British passport as well as an American passport, and I waited in line and had a job and, you know, went through the right procedures the first, 5 years that I was here in the UK. So, no, we welcome all of that. The problem is, again, is that is not what is going on in the United States over the last 3.5 years when Biden and Harris took off the restrictions on the U.S. border. And it's now a free-for-all. It's dangerous. It's a humanitarian crisis. There's over 300,000 children that are missing. So this is not being kind to, you know, people who are suffering in other countries. This needs to get back under control. And it's also not fair to Americans who, like, you look at the story in Springfield, Ohio, and other small towns who don't have a voice.
But the fine
maybe
print,
aren't the most educated or don't have the most money.
Yeah, sure. But the fine print of what's going on in Springfield, Ohio, where Haitians are there, many of the Haitians are actually, well, they're all there legally because that was a program instituted by the U.S. government to allow them enter legally. Many of them are doing the jobs that Americans in Springfield do not want to do. And you have an opioid crisis of some significance in Springfield. So there you have people doing the work that Americans won't or can't do to keep the city going.
Well, I think that's a little oversimplified, especially if you listen to the town hall meetings that go back over a year.
I listened to the mayor and the other representatives of the city.
You know, he tried to retract that. The city planner who said, we can go into the cats and the dogs and the famous song that's played in every nightclub right now, which is quite funny. But no, it's a more serious issue. And it's exactly how, you know, Trump won in 2016. It's why he picked J.D. Vance, who wrote the book Hillbilly Elegy. There are so many suffering Americans. And as Pat, you rightfully point out, you know, whether it's the opioid crisis or, you know, manufacturing jobs going overseas, these people are in their own country and they're suffering and they're asking for help. Now, you cannot take a town of 58,000 people and put 20,000 Haitian migrants into it who have a very different culture and expect there not to be a negative impact on social services, schools, crime. That is happening. That's not made up.
Now, do you think, though, that Donald Trump is appealing to the baser instincts of all America, like, you know, looking after themselves and to hell with someone who might be a bit different from them or come from somewhere else? Let's look after number one.
What's
isn't
the
that,
evidence of that?
Well, Donald Trump, his whole life has been looking after number one. You know, that is Donald Trump. He's a narcissist and very self-absorbed. Listening to his speech, you know, your favorite president, that's me. All this sort of nonsense he goes on with. Utter narcissism. His whole thing has been looking after number one. And really, that's the message he's preaching to Americans, that they should look after number one and to hell with the people who are other.
Do you mean to look? I agree. You know, Donald Trump is a massively flawed candidate in many ways. I agree with you there. However, his policies and his inward looking towards the people of the United States of America, who his job is to look after, that instinct is not wrong. Okay, America is not in a great place right now. And the average person who's just trying to pay their bills and do their job and have their kids safe and educated is like, why are we in these forever wars around the world? You know, let's close the border and let's concentrate on America. And quite frankly, this, it's no longer really a Republican Democrat thing. It's kind of a, you know, it's a different group that's forming, especially when you've got the likes of Dick Cheney and, you know, some of these people going over to the Democrat side. These guys want these forever wars because war's profitable versus the more peaceful people like Tulsi Gabbard, who served her country, J.D. Vance, who served his country, and indeed Bobby Kennedy Jr. So it's a really interesting realignment. I think England would do well, Ireland would do well, all of these countries would do well to maybe look after their own people also.
You can do a bit of both, I would suggest.
Indeed, indeed.
Now, the question of if Donald Trump were to take over and the things he's promised to do, retribution on those who opposed him, there is the question of the dismantling of the civil service and putting his own supporters in. Which is a very dangerous kind of thing to do, to take objectivity out of the civil service. Those kind of things, then closing the borders, looking inward rather than outward. When you look at the end of the British Empire, the end of the Austro-Hungarian Empire, the end of the Soviet Empire, I mean, America is the preeminent world power. By doing this, by taking no interest in what's going on around the world, America effectively dismantles its own power.
I mean, I don't think you're going to see a situation ever where America, you know, picks up its bat and ball and goes home and doesn't pay attention.
I mean,
of course it
will. The attitude of Trump to Putin, for example, I mean, every time I think about Putin and Trump meeting in Helsinki, the shameful episode that was when he was president, I think he will be Putin's puppet if he gets in.
I don't understand how you can say that. I mean, it's really, really just such a cliche thing to say. You know, Trump has done more to help the Europeans and NATO by telling them, hey, you need to up your game and pay your 2%. Because what happens if the U.S., you know, God forbid, has to turn our attention more eastward, looking to China, Taiwan? You guys need to be able to defend yourself. So this idea that he's Putin's puppet is, you know, I just don't think it flies. I think we all know that the Russia hoax from, you know, quite a few years ago, that Steele dossier was paid for by the Hillary Clinton campaign.
Do you go along with President Trump when he appears to say he'll throw Ukraine to the wolves? Because he says one phone call will end the war. Who's the phone call to? It is, of course, to Putin. And the only thing that will stop the war is him saying to Putin, no more money for Ukraine. That's the only phone call that'll stop the war. Is that what you think he's going to do? And is that what you would support?
Yeah, I would, actually, because nobody's been able to say what this 2.5 years of over 600,000 dead Ukrainians is for. You know, what exactly is the end game? Nobody can say that. You know, we understand there was a peace deal on the table in April 2022. Boris Johnson went there, scuppered it, probably at, you know, the America's, you know, direction. But what exactly is the end game here? And as I said before, the only president Putin didn't invade another country under is Donald Trump. He is not a perfect speaker. He's not an eloquent speaker, but he makes sense in this situation. Absolutely. And this endless checkbook for what? I mean, what does winning look like?
What does winning look like? Well, presumably that's what President Zelensky will be trying to convey to Donald Trump later today. Jennifer Ewing, spokesperson for Republicans Overseas UK, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.